You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 25th of February 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a bit of a connection problem at the moment, so it may take a while to get the files uploaded, but hopefully they will eventually be there for you to download. And I've got one particular news story today that I really want to get into. It concerns the South African farmers, the white farmers, who are being racially persecuted over there. And if people want to learn more about this issue, there was a very good Patriotic Weekly Review a couple of weeks back with a young American lady who is an advocate for these South African farmers. And they're in a really shocking situation. And it's just unbelievable that white countries are refusing to take these refugees in. The excuses they're making are just not acceptable. I believe Russia has taken some in, and so far Russia is the only country that has actually acknowledged the fact that white people in South Africa are under threat. And this report comes from the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail has actually been quite good on reporting on what's going on over there. A lot of the American mainstream media tries to downplay it and goes by the figures that the African government themselves give. And of course, the South African government are notoriously corrupt and give false figures. I mean, they are a part of this. They are writing it into law that they can just steal the white farmers' land and not have to even pay compensation. A surge of South Africans seeking protection in Australia have been disappointed as no visas have yet been approved. Rejection letters to the families applying for protection and humanitarian visas have said they are not refugees because the violence in South Africa is widespread, random, and opportunistic. Why aren't they saying that about a place somewhere like Syria then? Are they saying that in Syria the violence isn't widespread, random, or opportunistic? I mean, they're having a war over there. Of course it's widespread, random, and opportunistic. What they're saying here is that the situation in South Africa is the same as in these war zones. And besides that, you've got people that are being persecuted in particular because of their race. The risk of murder and serious physical sexual assaults is one faced by the population of the country generally and not by the applicants personally, said the letter, quoted in the Australian newspaper. Well, what are they saying about these Syrians then? Are they saying that all Syrians are at threat? Are they saying that they're only going to accept one particular type of Syrian? I mean, this just doesn't make sense, that they're saying that because the whole population of the country is at threat of violence, they're not going to allow these applicants in because they are not personally threatened. I mean, how can they say that Syrians are personally threatened? The whole country of Syria is at war. This is just an unbelievable excuse that they have come up with here. And the applicants are personally affected by this. They are white farmers. And white farmers have institutionalized oppression. The government are trying to steal their farms. They're trying to actually put that into law, even though it goes against all property rights from the beginning of time. But I guess in Africa, they never developed property rights, did they? They never developed a system of law. South Africa's minority white farmers say there has been a concerted campaign to drive them off their land and violent murders, some involving horrific rape and torture, which have been forcing them to leave. And all of this is documented. I mean, Donald Trump has tweeted about this and tried to draw attention to it. Katie Hopkins has drawn attention to it. And the mainstream media tries to ignore it and pretend it doesn't happen, but there's plenty of documentation of this to show that this is what is going on, and it's particularly against the white farmers. I mean, it's just particularly against white people. I mean, South Africa is the only country in the world where you have white orphans there begging on the streets and living in the ways that you would normally associate people from the third world living. And they're the people that actually built that country, built it into a civilization, built it into a first world country that was exporting food to the rest of the world. And now it's a basket case, now that it's been put in black hands. Liberal National Party member Savannah Lobuchain, herself a migrant from South Africa, said some people had their skin ironed off and holes drilled through their kneecaps. An elderly couple had boiling water poured down their throats. I could go on for days. How do we help our people? She told the Australian. This is the sort of thing that is going on there. And the people in Australia, they're saying, oh, well, just because that's happening to everybody there, so we can't make exceptions for you. And that is not a reason for not allowing refugees in. I mean, that is a reason for allowing all refugees in from there, isn't it? That's a reason for allowing black refugees, brown refugees, and white refugees. Going by the logic that they use for allowing these people to come into Europe, Miss Lubashane said both blacks and whites had suffered from the South African government's corruption, and that is very true. The blacks were much better off under the white government. They had their schools, they had law and order, there wasn't corruption. I mean, they would burn their schools down, they would burn their shanty towns down, but at least there was a semblance of law, and they had hospitals that were working, and blacks were treated in hospitals by the very best white doctors. Now you've got black doctors there who, just by their low average IQ, are not going to be as good as the white doctors, and the hospitals don't have any resources anymore. And blacks were far better off under the white government. And the way that they say it now is, oh, well, both blacks and whites are suffering from the South African government's corruption. But where does that corruption come from? The same corruption as in every African country, because Africans did not develop this system that they are now living under. They had a different way of living. They had a different system in their society, a completely different one to us. So they find it very difficult to conform to the democratic system that we have. As you could have people, you could have blacks that seem the most dedicated to democracy, like Mugabe was. I mean, he was held up as being a great African leader, and as soon as he took power, he became a murderous dictator. And up until that time, he had been held up as this great, highly intelligent black leader in waiting. But as soon as he got into power, he became corrupt, because this is just in their nature to be this way. This is why they've always lived in their tribal ways, and they never had a system of law. She also shared some of the racial hatred that has been directed at the white minority by black South Africans on Facebook. Now, we are told that blacks can't be racist. Only white people can be racist, because whites hold all the power in white countries. You know, this is what we're told. And yet in South Africa, blacks hold all the power. And yet the liberals and the progressives will still say that it can't be racism that's against the white minority. It can't be racism. And what she's pointing out here is it is racial hatred. And here we do have these black South Africans in power, and they are enacting specific policies targeting the white farmers. And specific policies targeting whites in everything. They've got these diversity quotas that say that in all the workplaces. It's got to be, what, 90% blacks in there and only 10% whites. And because obviously the whites have a higher average intelligence, they get put into the high-powered positions where they're likely to earn the most money. And they say, oh, well, no, we can't have that because all the whites are earning the most money. So we have to have 90% blacks in these top positions as well. And of course, once they do that, the company starts failing, and the knock-on effect from that is the economy starts failing. And that's why South Africa is now a basket case. So these policies, it's not just the policies of depriving the white farmers of their land. It's also these policies that are specifically racial and intended to penalize whites from working, which is why you have these white orphans. So you have an entire society that is now based upon racial animus against white people and depriving white people of really being able to properly contribute. I mean, the best way white people can contribute in a society like that is in a managerial position. And that's been shown by South Africa prior to black rule. One black South African man had posted to social media that it was his duty and the duty of others to eliminate every white person in South Africa. Now, if white people were to start saying things like that about blacks in Britain, you know, they would be locked up. They would be accused of being genocidal. And don't forget, we just had this crazy schizophrenic in Germany, and he was saying things like this. And he's been made out to be the far-right extremist, and that was the reason why he shot these Turks, even though he was schizophrenic. And yet, this is a common thing. This black South African posted to social media, this is the sort of thing that the leaders in parliament say over there. They sing their song, Kill the Boer, Kill the Boer. You've got Julius Malema singing that song, which is basically saying, kill all the white farmers. The only way to end racism and the oppression of my people is to destroy the white race. This must be done as quickly as possible, his post read. How is he being oppressed? His people are now running the country, and they have run it into the ground. How are they being oppressed? When the South Africans, the white South Africans, went to that part of Africa, it wasn't populated. There was nobody living there. There was nothing there. And the white people built a civilization. They farmed the place. They built farmland. They dredged the land that was wet, they irrigated it, they managed to make the desert fertile there, they set up mines, they started processing all the minerals that are there. Africa is very rich in minerals. And instead of just keeping the blacks out, they said, oh no, you're perfectly fine, you can come in and share in this wealth with us. You're welcome to come in. We will build you a separate area where you can live. We will give you hospitals. We will give you schools. The white people were incredibly generous to the blacks when they arrived. And of course, once they realized they could get employment there, they flocked there. They flocked there. But everything that was there was created by whites. There was nothing there until whites moved there. And yet they have this idea that it's their country, it's their land, it's all theirs, and it's all going to last without them maintaining it. They have a real problem with maintaining the infrastructure that they have there. And if they don't have whites there to maintain it, it's going to fall apart. We've already seen this in Rhodesia, which became Zimbabwe, which is where South Africa is fast approaching. And this was all predicted, that if South Africa was put into the hands of black rule, it would end up in exactly the same situation as Zimbabwe. And they are following that to the T, basically, trying to steal the land from the white farmers. The few white farmers that are left that provide all the food for South Africa, everything else has to be imported. Once they get rid of those white farmers, everything's going to have to be imported from elsewhere. Miss Lubashane, along with fellow LNP member Patty Meyer, also a South African migrant, said they were feeling frustrated as South Africans were prevented from receiving assistance by the bureaucracy. South Africa has been divided by deep racial grievances since the apartheid system of racial segregation ended in 1994, and this has been worsened by an economic gulf between rich and poor. And they were quite happy under that apartheid system until communists went over there and riled up the blacks and said, you should be ruling this. There's more of you than there are of them. And democracy is rule by number. It's rule by the mob instead of rule by the most qualified to rule. And they riled them up. And the rest of the world, instead of supporting the whites that were there, instead of listening to them, who said this apartheid system is necessary for the good of both of us, they put them under sanctions, forced the whites to give over to black rule, and put the convicted terrorist Nelson Mandela leading the country. And it's just gone downhill since then. Since then, there's been a massive increase in violent crimes and a massive decrease in the economy, and these blacks just are still blaming whites for everything that's going wrong over there. White people, who are less than 9% of the population, own most of the farmland in South Africa. Now, why would that be? Well, that is because it's only whites that developed the land there into farmland. It was only whites that had the farming knowledge to do that. The blacks just used to roam around the country grazing on whatever it is that they could find. They didn't used to plow the land and plant seeds and wait for the seeds to grow and harvest them. They didn't have the ability to think that far into the future and make preparations for something that's going to happen far into the future. They just think day to day. It's just the way that they are. So they never developed any land as farmland. Only the whites did. And now because the blacks want that, they're going to steal that from them. And yet, as we have seen from what happened when they did that in Zimbabwe, the blacks are not able to farm that land in a way that is productive. They are vastly outnumbered by black people, who make up 80% of the country's 57.7 million population, but who have the least amount of land ownership. South Africa's ruling party, the African National Congress, led by Cyril Ramaphosa, plans to take the land without compensation from minority white farmers who own most of the farmland and redistribute it to black South Africans. This is just theft. It's just literally communism. It's exactly the same as what happened in the USSR, where they just took all the farmland and they didn't redistribute it. They just kept all the wealth from it, kept all the harvest, and starved everyone to death, like they did in the Ukraine. And this is exactly what's going to happen here. They will take all the land, give it to the black South Africans, who won't be able to farm it, and South Africa will then have no food. And in doing this, they are killing, raping, torturing the whites, who they've been told to hate and to blame for why the country is in the state that it's in. I mean, how can you blame white people for the state that the country's in when it's been in black hands for the last 20 years or so? South Africa's parliament voted in 2018 to amend the constitution to allow land seizures and has issued a proposed land expropriation bill on which the public comment period is open until 29th of February, Business Check reported. So it's still being discussed now, but of course it's going to go through. Theresa May went over there last year. She was asked what she thought about this stealing of the land, and she said, oh, so long as it's all done under the law, that's okay. So long as you write a law that the state can just steal people's land, then that's okay, according to her. No loyalty to her ancestors here, who are the ones being persecuted. In March 2018, Mr. Dutton suggested white farmers were being persecuted and deserved special attention under Australia's humanitarian program. He instructed his department to consider claims from persecuted South African farmers, alongside people from Asia, the Middle East, and other African countries. Liberal politicians pushed for up to 10,000 South Africans to come to Australia. South Africans responded with a surge of 220 claims for humanitarian visas made in the last 2 years, almost triple the previous rate, So they're obviously desperate to get out. South Africans had previously made just 350 applications for humanitarian visas from 2008 to 2010, an average of 35 per year. However, most of the visa applications have so far been denied, leaving South Africans disappointed. I wonder how many visas were allowed for the people from Asia, the Middle East, and other African countries. That would be interesting to see and compare them to the whites and what the situation is of these Asians, Arabs, and other black Africans. Of the 570 humanitarian visa applications since 2008, only 41 were granted, and 340 are still to be finalised, the Australian reported, so less than 10% were granted. Protection visa applications have also failed, with 97 rejected in the past 3 months. So people that know that they're facing impending certain doom and can show that and prove that have not been allowed in. And you're not talking about people here that aren't going to be able to contribute to the country. You're talking about people that know how to grow crops in hot temperatures, know how to work farms in lots of cases, have got livestock and particular breeds that they've been rearing for centuries. And there would be a massive boost to the economy in Australia. There would be a real improvement to the land that they took over in Australia. But the Australians don't want them. Of 33 protection visa applications lodged since November, none have been approved. A Home Affairs spokesperson told Daily Mail Australia on Monday that anyone who makes a claim for protection will be considered under the humanitarian program, and that there are many other visas available to South Africans, such as the skilled, temporary, and family visas. Almost 80,000 visas have been granted to South Africans since July 2018, allowing them to come to Australia, the spokesperson said. South Africa is the ninth largest source country of permanent migrants in Australia. Well, how come none of these white ones have been allowed in then? To be considered a refugee, a person must have a well-founded fear they will be seriously harmed because of their race, religion, nationality, political opinions, or membership of a social group, the Home Affairs Department says on its website. Now that's interesting, isn't it? To be a refugee, you just have to have a well-founded fear that you may be seriously harmed for your political opinion or membership of a social group. I mean, what's happening here, it's because of their race. But we have nationalists that live in fear of being seriously harmed because of their political opinion or membership of the social group nationalist. The serious harm can be to their life and liberty, or the denial of a capacity to earn a livelihood to survive. So what about Red Ice, who get their bank accounts banned so that they can't earn a livelihood and survive? What about members of the Nordic Resistance Movement, who have their bank account removed so that they can't earn a livelihood to survive? I mean, a lot of nationalists that have been treated in this way, I mean, they actually fit the criteria for being a refugee. And that's quite incredible, isn't it? And yet people think that that's okay. The left think it's okay to deny people the ability to use a bank account. It's incredible. And I mean, these white farmers, they're living in fear of being tortured to death, basically. And Australia won't let them in. And yet these rules here say that, you know, just losing your bank account, that's enough. That is the denial of a capacity to earn a livelihood, to survive. Australia's Refugee Review Tribunal wrote in 2011 that despite concerns among white South Africans that they were being targeted for race, most evidence pointed to other motivations such as financial gain. What about this song, Kill the Boer, then, that they sing in the Parliament? What about these posts on social media about eliminating whites? I mean, you don't have to look very far to find these black politicians talking about killing white people. You really don't. Crime is widespread in South Africa, where 14 million people live in extreme poverty, and farmers are isolated and thus can be seen as easy targets. That's their excuse, is it? Even though the government themselves are trying to steal their land. In 2018, South Africa suffered almost 20,000 murders, with most of the victims being black victims of black violence. And that is that figure, obviously, we don't have that same high figure in white countries, but in white countries that are now multicultural, where we have black violence, the majority of it is black victims of black violence, but you also then get the white victims as well. Only 62 were farm murders, not all of them white, according to government figures quoted by investigative journalist James Pogue writing in Harper's Magazine. And of course, we know that the government reduces these figures. So if we look at what AfriForum says, they say there were 552 farm attacks in 2019, affecting almost 1,000 individuals. That is 119 cases more than the group recorded in 2018, marking a 27% increase. And there were 57 murders last year, three more than the year before. And that's talking about white farmers. I mean, just one murder is enough. And these people are brutally tortured to death. And, you know, it's not just people stealing the farm. I mean, when they say, well, this is economic because there's a lot of poverty there, well, why don't they just steal the farm then? Why do they brutally torture and rape the owners to death before stealing it? And why would they be able to do that? Why would the government say, okay, well it's your farm now? I mean, they've tortured and murdered these people to take it. Mr. Pogue wrote that the brutality of the torture inflicted on some of the white victims does indicate a level of racial vitriol in the attacks. In May last year, South African activist Annette Keneally, 51, who spoke out against attacks on white farmers, was found stabbed and beaten to death on her own farm in Limpopo province. See, this is what happens when people speak out about this. They become the victims of it. Keneally was a public supporter of the white Afrikaner community, and in her last Facebook post, she shared a link alleging that 10 farm attacks, including one murder, had been reported in just 4 days in 2019. So you can see that's pretty much the frequency at which these attacks are happening. She also routinely shared links and stories relating to politics in South Africa and the government's plans to start expropriating farms from white land owners. The South African Human Rights Commission has said black farmers have given evidence that farm safety isn't the preserve of any one racial group, although it does not dispute that there are attacks motivated by racial hatred. So they're trying to say, oh, it's not just the whites. Even though it's whites that own all these farms, because they're the only ones that are capable of actually farming them and making them productive. I mean, Australia really needs to be shamed for not allowing these white refugees. All white countries need to be shamed for not allowing these white South Africans to come back to our lands. If they're going to open up our borders to all of the third world and Syrians and Africans and Arabs and Indians and Pakistanis, the least they could do is open up to our white brothers, the South Africans. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.